At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor in southern New England, where it is 55 degrees after a beautiful day, blue sky. We had a little rain this last week, but otherwise every day is dry and beautiful, with the leaves off now after the rain, waiting for nor'easters in winter. Jeremy Zachas, my good colleague, is in New South Wales, where it is the other side of the world. Southern Hemisphere, coming spring. However, the bomb, the Bureau of Meteorology, has declared, we quit. We have no idea what's going on. Jeremy, what's happened? They've had a nervous breakdown at bomb. Why? Good evening to you.
G'day, John. Yes, big news from the Bureau of Meteorology here. For the first time in recent history, in fact, in the last 50 years, the Bureau of Meteorology has admitted that its models are so wrong, that the weather is now so unpredictable, that they are not going to issue a cyclone forecast for Western Australia. Now, this is a big thing here in Australia, because the cyclone forecast for Western Australia over the summer months tells us just how many cyclones we're going to get across pretty much all of Australia. And why that's important is because the emergency services, the farmers, everybody who lives up in that region knows what to expect and knows how to prepare. And now the problem is, according to the Bureau of Meteorology, they don't want to issue one because the numbers in the last few years have been starting to be incorrect and slightly wrong, but they have completely admitted now that their models just won't predict with any accuracy how many cyclones will hit Australia. And the reason for that is because the ocean temperatures have warmed at different rates to what was expected. The upper atmosphere is at different temperatures to what was ever predicted with these models when they were first created, which means the models are basically spitting out completely wrong data and completely unpredictable forecasts. So, John, as I speak now, we would normally be getting the cyclone forecast, and I could probably tell you that maybe we'd have 5 to 6 cyclones this season, according to the Bureau of Meteorology. And, you know, 10, 15 years ago, that would probably be very, very accurate. But now we don't know. All they can say is that there's probably going to be cyclones across the northern part of Australia. The emergency services basically have to prepare for them. But how long the cyclone season's going to be, how many cyclones there are, we just don't know. So, John, they have given up. They've exhausted all avenues. The Bureau of Meteorology has finally been beaten by the weather itself.
Your weather has been unusual as well. I see a headline from Channel 9, the hottest October ever. And you're not finished yet. You've got a few days left. What is it now? What have you had the last few days?
Yes, it is a real boiler out there right now. We're cracking through about 85 degrees Fahrenheit, heading, you know, possibly up to maybe even 90. So we're heading around towards those 30 degrees Celsius days already, which is not what we typically get now. We should be getting that a little bit later on in October and starting into November. But we've actually had a little bit of whiplash here, because yesterday, reasonably the same sort of temperatures, you know, 80 heading up towards 90. So it felt truly like summer. But the day before that, so Friday, we actually had storms. We had really, really violent storms come across the Sydney area and all up and down the eastern seaboard. And that brought really cool weather with it. So we actually dropped down to around 55, 60 degrees Fahrenheit for a lot of Friday. And then before that, on Thursday, we actually had maybe a small skerrick of spring weather. So it was a clear day, not too warm, not too cold, relatively dry, but it was Thursday night when the storms came. So we've really had three seasons in the space of 2 days. So the end of winter, pretty much a small bit of spring, and then a real start to summer.
Well, are they on the beach now? Everybody went down for the Barbie already?
They absolutely are. In fact, I had a quick look at some of the webcams around the Bondi area and certainly around some of the Sydney beaches. And yes, they are already hitting the beaches out there. In fact, I would myself, if I wasn't busy taking care of the backyard right now, because, of course, the grass is growing out of sight and I want to keep it low to try and keep those snakes out of it. But everybody is heading to the beaches already. The swimming pools around here as well, really starting to get a lot of people back there because during the winter time we tend to hibernate and not go to our local pool, but everybody's starting to come out again and starting to get swimming, and it truly is feeling like summer is actually here and here to stay already.
And Jeremy, it's springtime, but you're going into summer temperatures. Does that bother the creatures, the kangaroos, the a koala, that they didn't have a proper spring? They went right into the heat.
It does a little bit from the point of view in that because it's warmer earlier, what we're actually seeing is the koalas, the kangaroos, and a lot of the wildlife coming out earlier in the day. And unfortunately, because they're coming out earlier in the day, it means they're also becoming a little bit of a traffic hazard much earlier. So when people are going to work, you do have to watch out, especially here in southern Sydney, that kangaroos aren't jumping across the road and aren't becoming a bit of a nuisance. However, the good thing is that because we have had such unusual and weird weather, it hasn't affected the wildlife that badly because with the rain that's been part of that, all the grasslands and all the native vegetation which they feed on, which would actually be the problem if we went into an early summer and that wasn't there. But the rain is forcing it to grow very quickly, which means for all the wildlife, they've actually got an abundance of food, even though we're going into a very real, relatively hot summer. So far, so good for them. They're acting like it's a normal summer, just maybe a month earlier. But we'll have to wait and see. If it does stay dry, which, the one thing the Bureau of Meteorology has told us is because it's so topsy-turvy with the weather, we're probably going to get a lot of rain at one point during the summer. But if it stays dry, that might be where the issue comes in. But at the moment, John, the wildlife is actually dealing with it probably better than us.
Schooling, how does it adjust to the fact that this is summertime in our winter? Do you have a 3-month holiday the way we do? It's just on the other side of the calendar.
That is exactly right. We actually have the Christmas break, as we call it. So around about mid-December, all the schools from primary school, which is elementary school to you, and high school, they all go on it's about a 7 to 8 week break. So right across the Christmas period, right through January, and around about the second week in February, if I remember correctly, is when they all go back to school. So it's exactly the same as your summer holidays. We just have it on the flip side. We have it through December, January, and February instead of through the July period.
Is that the same for the universities?
It is. It's exactly the same. In fact, all our universities and schooling systems actually align pretty closely with summer holidays and with the other holidays, which just makes it much easier for everybody, especially those going from high school to university. That all lines up well with the start of the new school year.
Now, about the rain, you said you've had some rain, but you didn't have a normal spring. So you could have expected much more rain than you've received so far. It's odd weather coming. Does that affect the grasslands and the underbrush in the forest? I'm thinking about the fires.
Yes, absolutely will. In fact, if we don't get another bout of rain, probably in the next month, especially quite a heavy bout of rain, what will happen is all that really lush green grass that's growing now will turn tinder dry very, very quickly. And typically what happens is the grass will stay green probably for about a week or two. It starts to slowly brown off after that. But then after that 3rd week period, it gets very, very dry, and that's when it gets dangerous. So unless we get more rain in, you're going to have tall grass, very, very dry, basically ready to go and catch fire if there's a spark. The worst part is if we do get those heavy rains and storms that the Bureau is forecasting possibly to occur in December because of the way that the weather's gone wild, lightning strikes become our biggest foe. The lightning will be enough to trigger a lot of bushfires if we're not careful. So that's why we're hoping we can get at least a little bit of rain to dampen the soil and turn everything green again before any lightning storms actually come through.
Jeremy Zachas in New South Wales. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. Suppose you were driving along the shoreline. Suppose you saw a snake that you thought needed rescuing. Suppose you picked that snake up and put it in a basket and took it to a wildlife preserve. Suppose they all ran away screaming. What would you conclude? Next, I'm John Batchelor.